Welcome back, everybody, to the Be Better Podcast. We are coming to you from the South Minneapolis World Global Headquarters of Final K, and where the Be Better Podcast lives. And we have in our midst here on the couch, we have our old friend Nicole.
What? Why do I have to be old?
Hey, I'm saying hi to you while I still can.
Oh my gosh. Don't start today. Oh, I'm feeling old today.
Too soon?
No, this cold weather, I'm not used to this.
Well,
and it's chilly here. It's snowing right now.
And toboggans. Like, yeah. You were tobogganing yesterday, that you said.
You know, I was supposed to be here eating pie, hanging out with you and your lovely wife and family. And, you know, Ethan wanted to hang out with me, which as mom of any child over the age of 3, I think when they want to hang out with you, you're like, what? Hang on. Okay, I'm right here. So last night we did our rounds of Thanksgiving feast, which your house was on the list. Mm-hmm. And due to scheduling difficulties, we had to swipe you guys off our list last night because my son agreed to go tobogganing. And then we also did some blowtorching last night.
I saw that. You sent me that photo of you holding like 2 blowtorches like you were like in a Terminator
movie. I looked
a
little badass, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot.
No, Ethan, you know, Ethan considers Minneapolis his home because we moved here when he was in 4th grade.
Wow.
And now he's in like 19th grade, I think. And, you know, he still has his core group of friends here.
Yep.
And, you know, they're crazy kids. You know, after I took a pic with the blowtorches last night, dual blowtorches.
Because
he's like, come on, mom, you can do 2. I thought, you know, there's a reason God made me a mom to boys.
Yeah.
Straight up, because I am. Then, you know, then
you pulled it off.
Then I upped the stakes because we were tobogganing. And then I'm like, why aren't we building a jump? Why aren't we landing into the street? So then we had one friend making sure that the street was all clear before I jumped, you know, went straight down the hill, jumped the sidewalk, hit the iceberg from the plow trucks, and then landed in the road. So we were up in North Minneapolis because I still have the hillside house.
Yep.
And then when we drove around, I saw one of the council members that lives up there rolled down my window. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Because I'm sure they're all like, who is in that house? Who's in the yard with blowtorches and tobogganing? And it's just me.
We thought the neighborhood had enough sketchy things going on.
No.
You're going to amp it up a level.
Oh, I'm always, you know, and sometimes people think like, oh my gosh, you know, her kids are out of control. And then they're like, wait a minute.
There's
a small blonde child there too. I think that's Nicole. And that's the truth. I think Ethan has always been the mom. I don't think this is a safe child, and I'm always like, "This is gonna be fine." So, yeah.
Where's it gonna go for the next generation coming up?
I don't know.
They're just gonna like eat tree bark and just do what they need to do.
And the little one, you know, he's more me. Where Ethan was a little more cautious, and this one's like, "I can jump over there.
Yeah.
I can make that." And it's all crazy.
I can swim in that pool without anybody helping me.
Oh my gosh. No. I love it. My boys are crazy and adventurous and, you know, so sarcastic all the time, the oldest. That
I wonder where they got that from.
I don't know, but yeah.
You just picked that up from
some random person on the street. It's a little rough sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, but, you know, he is, you know, you always want your children to be kinder around other people than they are you. And that's the true test, right?
Oh, yeah,
to see
absolutely.
If you've done your parenting right. They might tell you to go F off, right?
Yep.
And break every door in your house. Because I don't know who made it through the teen years without going through that stage, right?
Oh, Jill's still got a broken door in her house in Chicago.
Oh, no.
There's still a hole in the door
that has been from Jill.
Oh, yeah. She broke through it. Allison still tells the story.
We can't, like, she can't hear us talking about it right now.
No, but she knows.
You're going to be in trouble later now.
It's talked about every time we go back.
Well, so, you know, so then you go through all that, and then, you know, you still have those moments. I don't know what my point was, but that he's kind, you know, they're kind to other people,
they are.
So we went to the movies yesterday, and he, you know, runs ahead and opens the door. And I'm not giving myself, you know, a pat on the back because he's doing what he should be doing, right?
Yep.
But I think there is a point to where, you know, you just do have to bear through those moments and know that it's all going to pass.
It's all going to pass.
And now, you know, I'm like the old mom because, you know, we are in all these play groups. I mean, you know, with like little London. You know, they're like, oh, is this your only one? And I'm like, yeah, he's got a 22-year-old brother.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
Yeah, they look at me like cross-eyed, like,
what?
Yeah, and I'm like, so let me tell you how this parenting thing really goes, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like Stephanie, she's 22.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, how old are your kids? Like, 22. You start off with that number, and they're like, they look at you like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Like, and we're so young looking that, I mean, I know. People, don't you love when they're like, you can't have a child that old? But, you know, then I followed up with like, yeah, because my face is like filled with silicone. But, you know.
It's, well, it's because I don't have any hair. I actually do look the part, though.
No, I don't think so. But no, it's definitely... It's been a lot of fun.
Well, you know, you talk about being sore today. If I was riding a toboggan, that's like, it's like basically all lower back compression. You're just boom, 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 boom. It's not like riding around on a snowmobile where there's like a little bit of absorption.
Let's get this straight. It wasn't the tobogganing. It was me deciding to do the run yesterday.
You think that's what it was?
It's running in the cold weather. I haven't been running in the cold weather. You know, I'm running in like 85, 90 degrees.
Yeah,
because canyon runs.
Because you
then...
gave up and left and went to LA.
Absolutely.
You're like, I am out of here.
You know what the thing is with the straight up Minnesotans is that I don't think you are all aware that there's other options out there. Like, you don't have to wake up to negative degrees. And
There is though, but that's why all the travel companies here go bonkers.
Oh, this would be true.
Yes, January, February, and that's what, like, we're the people that keep like cruise companies.
Oh, this is probably true. Yes,
in business,
flying into the airport here is always just like, oh yeah, I'm back in Minnesota.
That's in the jetway. It's like, oh, I immediately regret this decision.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know what I've started doing? I travel with this big, long, down coat. Because it also acts as a pillow. We just camped in the desert recently.
It makes a tent, too?
Amazing. No, I used it as a sleeping bag.
Oh, wow.
So it's got multi-purpose, but yeah, I can't get warm enough. But running, you know, the other morning, and it was just a 5K, which now that I am...
Yeah, you know, just blowing, a 5K. Look at you. Like,
blowing into the marathon world here.
Exactly.
No, that, like, you can feel it in your lungs. And I didn't have any clothes on. I had a little shirt on.
I know. Your text, like, the night before saying, hey, can I borrow some gloves? And are there other things I should have? Like, right. Like, I was ransacking the house. You're digging through my bag. Like, I need this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
But I did think that your choice of wearing a flannel shirt to run in was pretty good.
But I also get those free.
You get free flannel shirts? Yeah, are you sponsored by Menards?
No, I wish. No, Purnell. And I'm not even plugging this right now, but... Like, companies send us, it's kind of weird, but this is how the old thing goes. If you don't need free stuff, you get the free stuff. So when you're on TV, companies just send you free stuff, hoping you'll just promote it. For me, who hates shopping, because today's Black Friday, right? And there's not a chance I would go anywhere near anything. If they send something and it's free and it's my size, chances are I'll put it on. So...
Well, you got the baby stroller back in the day, too, didn't you?
Back in the day, right? Remember that?
You got the super pimp one. Yeah, you got a couple of those, and you're like, yeah, I need them all.
I did share.
Yeah, you did.
Kind of.
You did.
But no, that one, a funny story. We were at the zoo, and the battery died in that one.
Oh,
and it just collapsed.
Just like, brr.
No. And the man was like, oh my God. What do we do? So there is a deactivation part on it to get it open. That's when tech has gone too far.
You got to use the jaws of life to cut your kid out of the stroller.
I was like, wow. No, but I mean, I'm very thankful that my little still is like, let's go. You know, I'll put him in the jogging stroller every day. Because in LA, you don't want to drive anywhere. So my mode of transportation is the jogging stroller.
Yep.
And then we go to Trader Joe's and we go to everything. I pack as much as I can in the bottom of that, you know, and just run like crazy all over my town. My neighbors think I've absolutely lost my mind because they're like, you are literally running all day long. And I'm like, no, I don't. Why am I driving? You know?
Yeah. How has the shift in living in LA been comparative to living here and in D-Town?
Well, you know, it's kind of strange because we've been back and forth out there for almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it really isn't that big of a difference. And plus, I'm in the Midwest pretty much every single week.
Yeah.
But it is kind of weird because I live in a bubble. When they say like LA is a bubble, it's absolutely a bubble. It's like the place where anything can happen. There's palm trees, there's sunshine. And then you like turn the corner and, you know, like you're smack dab into somebody that you see on TV. Like it is very strange. You know, I'm getting used to it, but we're from the Midwest. I mean, You don't have that.
No, we don't. You don't see a lot of people like you. If you run into anybody, it might be a sports figure here.
Yeah.
Right. You might. You might run into.
I wouldn't know from like.
You wouldn't know Neil Broughton from Neil Armstrong.
No. I think I would know Neil Armstrong. Give me some credit there.
Okay.
But no, it is. It is lots of fun. I've been, you know, I was on a Mad Men kick and recently walked into a function and saw one of the characters there. I'm not going to call it out because it seems weird, but I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was just so weird because, you know, I think too, when you binge watch something,
you're
totally in a zone. And then I'd rolled out of that zone and went straight to this function and ran into that person. I'm like, okay, I need more sleep. I need to quit like binging. We don't have TVs, okay? I still like am not a TV watcher. But man, I can binge watch, you know, especially with all the travel now. I've learned how to download. I didn't even know this was possible to download stuff on my
amazing.
Phone. I sound like my grandparents.
It's
like
more than just a phone.
Wow. Yeah.
So when you met this person, did you have a heart? Did you talk to them?
I didn't talk to that one in particular because I seriously was like in the zone and it was
so
like
too,
crazy
too soon.
No, I am all up for just being like, listen, I am a straight up weirdo. And here's the thing. So I was in Beverly Hills. I was running around the corner, literally, and I ran smack dab into Tony Robbins, okay?
Holy smokes.
Tony Robbins is a huge creature.
He's three of you, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And I had just come from, like, beachside. I mean, I think I had done, like, work the day before, so I still had eyelashes on, but the next day after being beachside and then running, one eyelash is coming on, one eyelash is coming off.
So you look like a...
I look like a hot, crazy mess, yeah. Right?
Yep.
So
pushing
I run
shopping
into
cart.
Him. And there's so many of my friends that like follow him, like, whoa. So I'm like, oh, I have to do a video. This is later. I'm like, oh my gosh, hi, I gotta do a video with you. So I go and I'm like doing my whole video with him. And he goes, you're not recording. and he goes, give me that. And he does it. And then he did the, okay, so nice to meet you. And it's like this push. It's like this shake your hand, pat your back, push you away that you do with the crazies.
Oh,
and I got that from him.
No.
So I was like, oh, of course I did. But
did he know who you were?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah. So it was just one of those moments. But that one, I was just, like, I seriously have some friends that just, like, worship him. So that was, you know, I get excited to gift those moments to my friends, which may sound cheesy. But recently, I pulled a million strings to get, like, in a room with Nick Offerman.
Oh, I saw this.
Yes,
I followed
okay.
that whole stream.
So Josh, my, you yep. know... Ethan makes fun of me all the time, but I think you can attest to this where I say like, oh, my best friend. And he's like, best friend is supposed to be like one person in the world, mom. And you have like 50. And I'm like, I do though. Like, yeah. I consider you a best friend, Jill a best friend. Like all these people that at a moment's notice could all be in a room. I could share my deepest, darkest secrets with you the same. And we all have each other's backs. I think that's what a definition of a best friend is. And I'm very spoiled because I have so
aww.
Many.
Aww.
But my best friend in Detroit, Josh, right?
Yep.
Is like... loves Nick Offerman. And Josh picks me up from the airport, drives me to the airport, was at like an auto place getting me a battery for the truck at 2 a.m. a couple weeks ago, right? He is that person.
Yeah.
And so I saw that Nick Offerman was coming to Detroit. So I went to town calling everything we could to get just them in the same room and we pulled it off.
Oh, it's so cool.
It was so, when I pulled up at the theater, Josh looks at me and he goes, oh my gosh, he thought we were going to dinner next door. And he's like, look at Nick Offerman's here tonight. So I did a video. I'm like, do you want to go in? He's like, yeah, of course. I'm like, well, go in. Like, he had no idea. We totally pulled it off. And then he sat through the whole set. And then he was like, all right, what are we doing now? I'm like, well, do you want to meet him? And same thing. He's
yeah.
like,
what?
What? Yeah. And then I sat in a small room with Nick Offerman and Josh, and they talked woodworking for an hour.
Oh.
And I was like, this is... Okay, I want to go. No, I'm hungry.
It was just... Well, your heart has to swell at that point,
oh,
too.
Oh, my gosh. No. It was just so, you know, that's one of those moments where I'm like, all right, so this is worth it.
This
you know?
Is why I do
yeah.
what I do. It was
exactly.
so cool. I mean, you know, and you got it. Josh's beard is strong right now. Like,
yeah.
his beard game is strong.
Yeah, yeah. No, and Josh always has a very wild beard.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's
like a mix of ZZ Top going on there.
Yeah, I mean, but he doesn't look like he's going to... Yeah, he looks legit. I mean, he dresses.
He was a little upset that night, though, because he thought we were going to a donor dinner. So he had a suit coat on, which is so not Josh.
You tricked me.
So he's meeting like his woodworking idol
wearing
in a suit
coat. Yeah, he's like, "What? Where's the buffalo plaid? I need to be wearing something."
Yeah,
else.
It was a little hard, but
that's super cool. I don't get those opportunities to run into those people.
Yeah.
But someday. I mean, I've run into I think I fan on like sports figures, and the problem is that like Jill will tell you, I don't know who half the people are. You know, and I'll run into somebody, I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
But hockey players. Oh, yeah. Like, even when I was a kid, like, some of the old guys that, you know, are, like, Dino Cicerelli.
Yes.
Like, I got a chance to meet Dino Cicerelli, and I was like, oh, my gosh. He is the coolest guy in the world. And most people remember Dino from, and you might remember this, when he went out and picked up his paper, and he was just wearing his robe, and his robe was only about waist length. And the neighbors, like, complained about him to the police that he wasn't wearing, like, any jammies on the bottom.
What? No, yeah,
you didn't
I
hear
not
the story?
Know that story. Well, how would I know that story? Oh, that's such a weird story, by the way.
But because this is like you know, 80s hockey lore, like in Minnesota, when people were they were known for other things. But I got to meet Dino Cicerelli, and I thought he was the coolest person in the whole world.
Yeah, my next one is I have to get Grandma Faye, who, if you've watched the show and you see the sarcastic grandma that we have to bleep all the time, that's actually my 81-year-old neighbor to my grandparents that has always been like a grandma to us, and like my little calls her Grandma Faye, but she is so obsessed with Red Wing hockey, like so obsessed. So like my next thing is like her, the entire team, and like that's what we have to work on.
What do you think of the new stadium?
You know, we went once, and it was okay. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I couldn't. It would be like. You know, like me bugging out about an old house and then taking someone in that lives like in a modern loft. Like it's not the same thing. So I can appreciate it all for you, you know.
Did you appreciate the fact that they saved the old facade from the front and they reinstalled it inside?
Didn't even know that.
Oh, see? They did. So the old
you got to understand that stadium's kind of a sore spot because they had to knock out like some really historic sites to put it there.
I get that.
So there's the new Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's
classic.
There's a way to preserve.
Is it OD? Old Detroit?
I don't know if anyone's ever called
original,
that.
Original Detroit? I might coin a term here.
I might start that, but yeah. So there's, you know, there's plenty of empty space in Detroit. So you never really have to knock anything down. Yeah. Same as here. Same as anywhere. But so I don't know. Like I wouldn't go out of my way to go to a hockey game, you know.
Yeah. So hockey's really big in LA now. It's like where all the people see and be seen. It's almost like the new basketball. So have you had a chance to go out and see the Kings game yet?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So that's like the if you ever want to, next time I come to LA, I'm going to take you to a Kings game.
Okay.
Because that's like that's the thing to do now.
Yeah.
Like they are the like even Snoop Dogg is like a fan of like hockey's the new sport.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen the NHL has these commercials where they
I love how you just keep throwing hockey stuff out. Like something's going to light up in my brain.
I know. I feel like it's,
I was a hockey mom. Like, hey, yeah,
I'm trying to put it's not
thumbs up to all that. I mean, we discussed that yesterday. That's a commitment. But yeah,
I'll stop on that.
Yeah.
One.
No,
I'll stop on that one.
It's not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah.
So can I ask you where these hints, like, so as we're walking up here into the headquarters, you were commenting on my painted over hinges in the kitchen, and I was telling you how where do I get those hinges? Am I going to get them online?
I have my master of ordering, Stephanie. You know, we still have such a small crew,
and
no one believes it, but, you know, it's me. It's Bobby, who's, you know, been my head carpenter for years. Josh floats in and out, but Josh has a really large commercial contracting company. So working on our old houses is just, you know, if I'm like, come on, Josh, come work. Sanford builds everything custom. Then Martin's our painter. Stephanie is my neighbor at our lake house.
Okay.
She's also one of my best friends, but she is our project manager. She orders everything. So any product we see or anything, Stephanie knows exactly where we get it.
She's the grand wizard.
I know nothing.
Okay.
I just, like, I still do all the estate buying and, like, the antiques and everything like that. But anything new purchase, I have no clue. Plus, you would have to buy it online, which just confuses me. So, yeah, she's the wizard on that. You know, it's funny because I was just talking with her this morning because I'm flying into Detroit today and we're going to hit the ground running there, finishing up another house. And it's, I love the fact still that we pull off this TV show with like four or five of my best friends, one camera, and just F all. Like, we do whatever we want every day. We have fun. We kick it around. You know, we've been doing these silly dance videos. And it's true. Like, we seriously, you can't have music going while you're filming for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But when we're taking a break, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired right now. We do these dance offs. And it's like, I don't know. Remember being in middle school and like you got to do an overnight party or something and you just got to do something that you knew your parents wouldn't be like, yes, this is okay. Like that's our work world, which is so strange. Like you lock those doors and all of a sudden when we walk into that old house, we're like these crazy kids that get to do whatever we want with no ramifications for like 2 or 3 days because we work like around the clock and it's just a party. It's so much fun.
It is. It's like a lock-in.
It's absolutely, yes, that's what I meant. Like you roller skating overnight lock-in. Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
I might have did some really, really amazing early stages of French kissing behind some arcade games and a couple of those. But you know, oh my God.
I was the guy in the corner that was like, I think I like her. I don't know. I'm not going to do that. And then you go home and you never really made the commitment because I was a fat kid with an afro and that was my thing.
I don't know how I got play like that because I had a really bad Fantastic Sam's mullet at that age. But, you know, I did.
I think girls had all the cards at that point in time.
Oh my gosh. And I was from a small town. I mean, so it's still kind of weird. I always joke that when we're in, you know, my little town I grew up in, like it's everyone's class reunion. I'm a little afraid sometimes, but it's getting better. It's getting better.
Well, speaking of the show, you have some exciting information about
that. Yeah, we're back.
Exactly.
I know. It seems like, that show nearly broke me. I mean, I think you can attest. You have been through some pretty horrific things with me.
I know. I'm thinking Minnehaha was like, I was like, you coming out of Minnehaha, like that is...
My brain still intact and not in prison?
I know.
Yay!
Like you didn't get arrested. I didn't have to come out with bail money down to the third precinct. Like that, because that house...
made such a great chapter in my book.
Oh, it did.
You know, karma is karma. Mm-hmm. And funny, I got a call this week because there's a situation going on there, and I was asked to be in to testify.
Uh-oh.
About some stuff. So I can't say anymore.
No.
But it was like, do you see my smile right
now? Oh, yeah, I see it. Ear to ear.
God grants serenity to those that wait, you know? It's definitely been testing my limits. And I'll tell you what, I say the big snap came like 5 years ago. So we were about season 5, season 6. And like everything you could compile into one like really toxic blender of life seemed to go into my shake that day, you know? So there came a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. So
Was it got too much? It was just like,
you know, filming a TV show, couldn't like, you know, had a book deal, couldn't get out of the book deal, begged to get out of the book deal, like too much, wrote the book deal. It did make New York Times bestseller, right?
Yep.
And as soon as it hit it, I was like, I'm out. Bye-bye. Like, I'm done. That's all I wanted to do. And it had all these things at once and new baby. You know, we know everything that went on with that. It was a little crazy. And my grandparents were sick. You know, Tessa, you know, went from like, you know,
up here
doing
to down,
great
yeah.
to not. And, you know, it was just like a really trying time to where I was like, this is just too much. And once we got, you know, all those fires put out, we all looked at each other and we're like, breathe.
Yeah.
We're all taking a break. Like, that's it. So we did. And, you know, there's been so many shifts going on in TV land that, you know, now Scripps is owned by Discovery, which owns, I think, basically every channel on cable except for like 4 or 5. I don't know.
They're like the Disney of cable.
I don't even know. People ask like da da da. And they're switching networks all the time. And, you know, our show is still played a gazillion times a week.
But all over the world,
by
the way.
We haven't had anything new come out in like 2 years because we haven't done it. I've still been doing old houses, but we just wanted to scale it back again so that it was ours again.
Yeah.
Like this private moment. And the other thing is, you know, it's better late than lousy. And it just got to a point where I wasn't in it anymore. And I was like, I'm not going to put out I'm not going to put out this product. And I think we saw a shift where, you know, I don't want to become this cookie cutter show. Like, I'm just not going to do it. I still want to be me. I still want to be raw and original. And there was a few moments where, you know, TV was like, I don't know if we want that anymore. And I was like, well, I don't want to be anything else. So it's been I will say that the latest round that we just did was the most heavily negotiated. Well, I mean, there's been a couple of heavily negotiated agreements in my life recently, but I will say this one, you know, I wanted to make sure that we were still putting a product out there that was what we wanted to do in the first place, which was raw and real and Rehab Addict.
I think that's how people identified with it, I think, is it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the, I don't know, don't take this wrong, it wasn't the super polished show. It wasn't like a script roll back the bus. You knew what was going to happen every time. There was always something.
And you know that wasn't made up.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. Chris can testify.
Yeah.
That, her that, like, all that stuff that happens in her life, it's not made up.
No,
it happens
it's 100%
on a daily basis.
On the real.
And so, no, and, you know, I think... You know, I chose to sit out a couple years because you got to let things run its course. And I think there was a calling for a more polished look, you know, on TV and on, you know, specific networks. And I was like, no, that's not us. First of all, you're never going to find me like all done up to the nines and, you know, coming in and just putting some wallpaper on a wall with my husband, you know, like, no. And, you know, when I have said husband, you know, I want that husband's gonna have to, you know, he knows he's getting me where I'm like,
this is
you
what's
know,
gonna happen.
And F this and F that, and let's, you know, go. So I think, you know, that's really what I wanted to make sure we were still showcasing.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to say that we all finally had a coming together where, you know, I also stated very clearly that, listen, I don't feel well represented on TV. I'm a single woman. I'm an aggressive woman because I'll just admit it. Everyone calls me aggressive because, you know, I'm a chick. If I was a dude, I'd be strong.
Exactly.
You know, but I don't feel like I'm represented out there. And I think there's a lot of people that stand behind me and with me that are like, yeah, I don't see myself there either. And I think that's something that our show brought to the table.
That's super important.
That you don't have to have this perfect life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a perfect house. In fact, a perfect house, I think, is like the first sign that your life is effed up. Like, it's effed up.
Interesting.
Because your life should not be spent on things. It's moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is something that I call it the five-year snap-a-go. When, like, I finally just lost my shit. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
We're going back to the basics. But, you know, all of my personal homes, when people walk in, I'm like, dude, just make yourself at home. Like,
unless it's your holiday party. Because when your holiday party is, the house is, like, because I've seen both sides.
Right, right. Well, listen, there's moments I like to get fancy because, you know, I collect antique chafing dishes and serving dishes. Like, it's so wrong. But at the same point, you know, I always laugh that I have disposable furniture.
Yeah.
If you have children, you should not have a room where they can't touch anything. I mean, it should all be like, just let it go, you know? And that's kind of how I just wanted everything always to feel.
Yep.
But now I also do get away with this because all of our Detroit homes are kept in my little collection of houses. They're all on Airbnb, but they're all pristine and perfect.
Yeah.
So I get to go and visit them. But I would never let my children loosen them. So that's the difference.
Well, I know what it's like. You have kids. It's like you fight to have one room just be clean at a time. It's like,
well, no, there's clean and then there's messy. So my houses are always clean.
Yes, clean, clean. There's no bugs. There's no rodents. There's nothing like that.
I've been told by the man just a few thousand times that no one cleans like you clean. But you also have to remember, my grandmother grew up in a Catholic orphanage.
Oh.
That's how we were raised. I also had a cleaning business for years and years.
Yeah, you were a professional cleaning lady.
I'm that person who, like, brushes my teeth, cleans the sink, polishes the faucet,
wipes it down.
Yes.
Because that's why you want it.
I know, but
that's in your DNA.
But I'm cool with it being messy. I'm cool with, like, kids' books. And we have, right now in our living room, there is a couch fort that has been up for 2 weeks. So there are pillows and there are blankets. Yeah. There's like the octopus who is the watch guard on top of it, and I'm cool with that. I don't care who I have over. Like, yeah, you can't sit down.
Yeah.
We got a fort in the living room. It's probably going to be there for the next 10 years because that's my mommy heart taking over. But
you got to let it go.
That's how it is. Yeah.
I think it's so inspiring that you were able to retain, like, your true identity through all of this? Because I think for a lot of people that could have been lost. There is the risk that you start off and you are brought into something as who you are. It snowballs. You get caught up in that snowball. And I've seen people who, like, either whether they're athletes or whatever, just get lost in who they truly are or where they're what truly is important for them. And I think the fact that you have been able to bring that back, especially in the show, which I think has such an identifying piece to you, that's super important. And to tie this back to sport,
yeah,
not to hockey, but to sport. The fact that you started out doing something, it got to a point where it got crazy. You had to take a couple of...
My tea all over me.
It's okay. It's a kid's couch you're
Chris
sitting
on. Chris is trying to, like, keep a straight face, and he's like, she has tea spilling all the way down her face around. She just wiped it off with her shirt sleeve. Yes, I did.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But you see how people, like, they run, and then all of a sudden they kind of lose the passion for it. And then they have to kind of relight that fire, and they come back, and they come back to that sport. That seems like that's you, and that's important.
No, I will say, had I got the TV show when I was in my 20s, I would have been screwed. I would have been like, and because everyone is like a narcissistic, egotistical a-hole in their 20s, right? Yeah. It's just, that's the nature of the beast. You're like, you're still developing, you know, and then your 30s, you're kind of shedding that, but then you're still like, you have to impress your peers. You have to have the fancy car. You have to have the good house. Where did you go to school? Which I was always like, oh shit, I didn't, you know, like, what do you want? But, you know, you get into this, I think I hit the show. I wish I would have hit it a couple years later. Because I wasn't prepared at all. And most people, when they, you know, when you see them on TV, they have begged to be on TV. They've produced a sizzle reel. They've promoted themselves. They have, like, poked people at a network for years to be like, put me on TV. And I never did any of that.
No.
It just fell into my lap. And then I was like, wow, I'm going to get paid. Write me a check. So I didn't care if my face was on there. I wanted the money.
Yeah.
And, but it came at a time where I knew... You know, also, I had another life in L.A., so I knew that those things come and those things go very, very fast.
Yeah.
And so I had a little bit of an education on that, but I think that's to keep myself grounded and always, you know, be myself. I will say this. I would rather fail being myself than fail pretending to be something I'm not, because at least I know that I, you know, what else could I do? It was me. Yeah. They didn't like me, which took me a long time to realize, because I used to pretend to be like a successful designer and a successful real estate agent. But, and it was just my first design card. I was making money in design. Hell no. I was like selling, you know, paint swatch, you know, samples and everything on Craigslist, calling myself a designer. So now... It's so much fun for me to be like, listen, let me be honest. I don't know what you're talking about, and I have no clue. I'm going to go over here. You know, it's so comforting.
I think it's that's super important to have. I think, you know, you touched on it that for to be a role model, that, you know, I look at London. You know, she's 4.
Yeah.
You know, who is she going to look up to? You know, her mom, you know, Jill, is a strong, you know, woman who is like, she's the head of our household. We have a gender.
You don't have to tell me that. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that doesn't go recognized enough. And I think maybe that might be one of the things that I have enjoyed about you being my friend for so long. Because, you know, we were kind of pushed together by Allison
because we were like the stay-at-home mommies.
Yeah, exactly. It was like that's.
But see, I think that is so cool. I mean, for me, you know, I I've been single a long time, as we all know, but, you know, people have always tried to mash me up with, like, the CEO of this, and the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I want to, like, kick it at home. I want to be, like, here.
Yeah.
I don't want some high-strung life and everything, and I think that's where, because... They see me as like, I have this mega role, like I run my company and I do this, and you know,
you're the CEO of Nicole Curtis Enterprises.
I need someone to balance that out. And I always say, don't find balance in your life, but I think in relationships, you got to find that balance. And I think that's what I love about you and Jill, is that you guys have that synergy, you know, and that is what has changed in my life in like the last few years. Is that everything I thought I never wanted in my life is what I'm yearning for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I give this analogy, I've told this a couple of times before to Jill, is that I remember reading an article that Paul Simon, or an interview Paul Simon gave.
Yeah.
About, and they were asking, it was Rolling Stones, they were asking why the relationship between he and Carrie Fisher fell apart. And he said that in relationships, you have to have a flower and you have to have a gardener.
Yeah.
And if you have two flowers, it won't work. And they were both flowers.
Yeah.
Or if you have two gardeners, it won't work. And in our relationship, Jill's the flower. I'm the gardener. My love language is service. Like, she'll say, you don't give me enough hugs. And I'm like, but I washed all the dishes and I folded the clothes.
And so, that's, no, we just had the love languages conversation. And it was very surprising because I'm like, don't do the damn dishes. Like, come sit on the couch with me.
Yeah.
Like, hello. And that was like a conversation where I was like, how did you not know that? Yeah. So those things are very real.
They are 100% real. And I think those are the things that are I know that, like, for Jill, it would be like I was never any of the things that she thought I was. Because when we got married, I was a police officer.
Yeah,
I was
like
I was a macho
man.
I was doing Ironman triathlons. You know, I was cut.
You were like manly man.
Oh, I look so good. I even had hair back then.
You know? Hair is overrated.
No.
Unless it's facial hair, because I'm a beard. Ethan was just making fun of me last night. He's like, Mom, seriously. He likes to throw out this really horrible fact that, like, I'm sure he made it up because he's a sarcastic 22-year-old. Well, almost 22, but he was like, all the fecal matter that's held in beards.
No.
Does he get this?
No, that's a lie. Because if you are a true, and you'll ask Josh's, I've got a beard comb. I use beard oil. You use more stuff. You do more things in there. You don't do fecal matter.
No, I don't. He just likes to throw it out there. Like, it like catches germs. I mean, he was just going on and on. I'm like, Ethan.
No.
I can't right now, but
fake news.
Yes, exactly. Fake news. But that you know, I think you're right. I think you were like macho duck, and then it is. But I think you just come into your own. You know, as much as like I will go out there and I will like tear apart anything. I will drive heavy equipment right into a wall because as much as I say I'm so good at driving it, I'm not. You know,
but it's fun to drive.
But when I'm home, like I want to be. In my mind, all woman. And mm-hmm. sometimes that throws people off a lot because they think, you know, they always think that I'm this staunch feminist. But I really think there is something like I want to be nurtured. I want to be held. I want, you know, I'm Aww. I'm like this crazy softie, but people don't expect that ever.
Yeah.
So then I really do have to like stomp my feet and be like, no, I really need this. Like, hello, you have to give this to me. So it's, they don't expect it. And so sometimes I have to like find myself breaking down stereotypes because they expect like I'm the last person in the world that would ever like, you know, take a hug, you know, or anything. And, you know, I am. I just like to throw around, you know, hammers and work in construction. But
never stop being you. Never stop being you. And then, you know, like you said.
Unless that you is an a-hole. That's what I'm saying too.
Yeah.
Then get a therapist. Because I'll tell you, there was a time where I was an a-hole for a long time. You know, again, you get on those. I was so driven for so long. And, you know, I finally had a great therapist that sat me down. She says, so how's this working for you? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you're in here every week crying because you don't have what you want, but you're not changing anything.
Oh.
And I was like, damn. Oh. And then there was a chart on the wall and like, and I was like, wow. So visualizing those things, you know, you do, you have to tweak you because sooner or later you have to realize that it's you.
It all comes back.
You know, I always say like, get out of your own way.
There
like,
you go.
That's what you got to do. So that's where the focus is right now. New show, which is still the old me. I'm going to love the day when we get to the point where the show can just be called, like, Nicole Curtis really does say the F word a lot. And
except for on this podcast.
For on the podcast, yes. But, you know, I think, you know, rolling towards the future, it's really just honing in on those things. Like, I feel like I have the mind of, like, you know, someone who's 97 right now looking back at their life being like, wow, you know, I really got to get these last few days in. But, you know, I think that's because, you know, for some odd reason, I'm surrounded by people that are like dying of cancer all the time. I mean, it's weird. It's like this magnet thing. And so when you're with people that are going through this all the time, it really makes you check yourself and really focus on what's real, what's right. And you know, really what life's about.
Yeah. I feel like you have a good appreciation for that and you've got a good hold on it. And that, I think that's what makes me appreciate you.
But I really got to get out of here because it's Black Friday and I got to go get my sales.
No, I got to get out of here because I got two hockey games I got to bring the kids to. I got a holiday tournament today and we're coming back to hockey. And on that,
yes.
and on that note, I will, I know that you have other things you do and you got to catch a flight, shocker.
Yeah.
To get to
miss a flight, shocker. Yes.
Yeah, or leave your stuff in TSA, shocker.
Yes.
So I want to say thanks because I got to see you again and yesterday was a lot of fun at the Turkey Day 5K.
Oh my gosh. No, I have so much fun with you guys. And I think that's the cool thing about, like, again, getting back to Ethan's theory that I have all these best friends everywhere, but yeah. I have this need, this want inside me all the time to just have this bond and closeness with everyone that's cool people. So
yeah.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Well, I think, you know, yeah.
I don't have enough time to do all the friend social things that I want to do. Like, that's the craziness.
But you know that the door's always open here. The patio's always open.
Yeah, I know the secret.
You can come in and take a Mutant Ninja Turtles plastic cup and fill it with granola.
Oh my gosh, no, there is granola down here that I've been munching at.
In a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles plastic cup.
No, the truth is I always come over here to steal winter gear.
It's true. Well,
but no, I think this is going to add to new adventures because we have a new year coming up. So we'll see where we land.
I'm excited for it. Well, thank you for coming back and being with us. And thank you for listening again to the Be Better podcast. Again, we ask that you, if you like what you see or like what you hear, put a like down there and subscribe it on iTunes. Until next time, Nicole, just be a little better.
Be a little better. Bye.